Sex.
Hey Scarlets, it's Mary Adele here, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and make these conversations more joyful, liberating, inclusive, pleasurable, all the above, so we can live more fulfilling and pleasurable lives. So how is everyone? It's been a little bit. I took a nice break. I'm hoping y'all are doing the same, taking care of yourself, sleeping, not doing anything, maybe doing a lot of things, maybe hiking, maybe just watching some Netflix. I highly recommend The Outsiders on HBO. It just started on Sunday. It's based off of a Stephen King novel, so you know it's going to be real effed up, and that's exactly what it is, but it's good. And if you're not into scary stuff, watch Schitt's Creek on Netflix, because that show's hilarious. All right, so today I want to talk about orgasms, and it might be a more than one episode conversation because it's not black and white at all. Just like everything we talk about on this show, nothing is really black and white. There's a lot of gray, there's a lot of diversity and stuff outside the box, especially outside of the heteronormative lens that we've been kind of brought up in. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. And maybe you've never had an orgasm. Maybe you easily have them. Maybe you're not sure if you're having one. There was a time in my life where I truly was not sure if I was orgasming or not. So I get that if that's what you're going through. Maybe you think about them. Maybe you have shame around them. There's, again, just so much variety of how we experience orgasm and pleasure. So we're going to dig into that a little bit today. I want to open up this conversation because obviously we know this. The more we talk about, in quotes, taboo topics, the more we learn and the more empowered we are. So we just got to talk about these things that are part of us. They're part of our bodies. They're part of our experience. And, you know, we know this. A lot of sexuality education is framed in shame. So we want to break that. We want to break out of that shame cycle and just let ourselves be the messy, human, complex people that we are. Okay, so here's a definition of orgasm that I grabbed from Psychology Today online. So an orgasm is a buildup of sexual arousal and stimulation that can lead people to the intense and pleasurable release of sexual tension known as the orgasm. Having an orgasm may also be referred to as climaxing or coming. During orgasm, the heart beats faster, blood pressure rises, breath becomes quicker and heavier, and involuntary muscle contractions occur in the genitals and often throughout the body. So I looked up a lot of different definitions of orgasm online before I found this one. And, you know, you can even kind of tell within this definition that we're still figuring this out. It's still kind of a mystery to everybody. Like, what is this happening in our human bodies that, as far as we know, doesn't happen in, you know, animal bodies? And that's because there's just not a lot of research. And I think that's also because of the shame that is part of sexuality. Not everywhere, but I think particularly in Western culture, there is a lot of shame. And so we haven't done a lot of research on pleasure. We just know that it's possible. And, you know, there's been a focus more on cis straight men and their pleasure. But that's changing. There's, you know, the orgasm gap movement, which is helping other people who aren't straight cis men, you know, learn about and experience orgasms and just talking about it again, like we're doing today. So that's a pretty generic definition that I just relayed to you. And so depending on your body, its abilities, we all have different abilities in our bodies, its size, its shape, the trauma it's experienced, and more, an orgasm might look and feel completely different for you than what I described in that definition. So maybe you don't, you know, notice anything with your blood pressure, or maybe your breath doesn't quicken, or maybe there's no muscle spasms or contractions. And it's still an orgasm, and you get to name that. That's for you to name. So I just want to put that out there, that it's not going to look the same for everybody. Again, we're complex, we're messy, we've got different experiences, we've got different histories. So you're allowed to call whatever you want an orgasm within your body. It's your own body. But there is kind of a, you know, pattern. There's something that a lot of people have been able to say, hey, this is what happens to me when I feel like I'm orgasming. And so I think, for the most part, those muscle contractions will happen. The blood pressure will rise. you will get that kind of tingly feeling. I know I definitely get like the toe curling. And something that also happens to me is I'll close my eyes and I see a bunch of different colors. So it's like, it's going to be cool because it's going to be different for your body, but also for the most part, it's going to have a lot of these factors of like just your body getting really excited. So that's what makes, again, orgasms so cool. They're going to be experienced by you and your body, and that makes them unique to you. So let's jump into some more info, just general info regarding orgasms. I want to talk first about why you might not experience them or experience them often or experience them like other people that you've heard of have experienced them. So I have talked to a lot of people. In fact, once people know what my occupation is as a sexuality educator, it's amazing to me how many people come up to me either after a workshop or in a client meeting and relay to me that they don't have orgasms, they've never experienced one, or they really struggle with it. And that's, you know, telling. If that's happening to me quite often, and I've been in the business now for a little over a year, that's, you know, that's not that much time in the field, and I'm hearing it everywhere. So we gotta, again, we're gonna keep talking about this because we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna keep talking about it, and even if it doesn't mean that everyone's going to start having orgasms, we're at least going to be able to make people feel more validated and affirmed in whatever their experience is. So if you're listening and you've never or rarely orgasmed, you're totally not alone. I just want you to know that. So here's some reasons that we may not be orgasming. Mental health. So stress, depression, anxiety, grief, and more can all inhibit our pleasure. That's when we're feeling so much or thinking so much that we're not really tuned into pleasure and what our body is experiencing. So that's definitely a factor. And then, of course, miseducation and just not having the awareness. So perhaps no one's ever talked to you about exploring your body or normalized exploring your body, especially in terms of like what makes your body feel good, etc. Like that's really, really common. For any gender, again, at least within Western culture with our sex education, like we don't talk about pleasure. We talk about the reproductive system. So no one, at least for the most part, largely on a large scale, there's no focus on how our bodies can really like ground us and how they can make us feel less stress and how we explore that, how we figure that out for ourselves. Another factor, maybe your body image. So perhaps you feel negatively about your body. We have talked about this or touched on this already in other episodes, but I'm thinking we need to make it a series of episodes just all about body image because so much goes into that. So much like such as the media, such as representation, maybe your body, the color of it, the shape of it, the ability of it isn't represented in mass media. So of course you're going to be confused and feel shame about your body if you're not seeing it anywhere or you're not seeing a body that's like your body anywhere. But then, of course, like diet culture, like this pressure to look a certain way, which is thin and white and all of those structures that we've set up or the patriarchy has set up. So body image, if you're not feeling good in your body, you're probably not going to be able to experience good with your body, right? And then discrimination and oppression and, again, patriarchy. Perhaps you experience bigotry, hate, sexism, and or oppression on a regular basis. And because most of your energy then goes into just survival and coping and dealing with this oppression, you may not be experiencing pleasure as much as people who have privilege and who don't experience a lot of oppression. So that's clearly not fair, but that is a reality. That's definitely a reality that a lot of people in this country and lots of countries deal with. Trauma. So if you've experienced any kind of trauma, whether it's emotional, physical, sexual, that can absolutely affect, might be the number one reason that affects people's ability to experience pleasure and or to orgasm. And I'm, you know, I feel for you. I'm sorry if that's your reality. And I hope that it gets better. One way to do that is to, if you can afford it, if you have the means and the insurance, go to therapy and talk to a therapist. There's lots of therapies. I think we've talked about this before, but there's a therapy that focuses explicitly just on your body and how it deals with emotions and how it can overcome emotions and how it can heal. Somatic therapy experiencing. I did it a couple of sessions and I absolutely loved it. So if you can find something like that to help work through some of your trauma, I highly recommend. And then shame, which shame kind of pops into all the other reasons that I've already given that we might not experience pleasure, but, you know, such as body image. But shame could stem from religious upbringing. I know that's personal to me. I was raised in a really Catholic religious household. And so it just, that wasn't, we didn't talk about bodies. We didn't talk about sexuality. And so in order to find out about it, I had to kind of like glean information like from friends who, you know, they were just as young as I was, so they didn't really know what they were talking about. And you glean a little information from the sex education, which is all about reproduction. And then you glean a little information here and there. And like, it's not comprehensive. And it's not like positive, really, usually. And so that shame will absolutely affect how you are experiencing pleasure, how you're experiencing your sexuality. And that's something you just got to take time to unlearn and practice and like just kind of fight against. Honestly, you have to truly work at it. And I've talked about this time and time again, but you have to stop saying things like, I should have done this, I shouldn't have done this, which can have nothing to do with sexuality. It could just be your day-to-day like thoughts. You have to stop using the word should because it's a shame word. It literally accomplishes nothing. It's so unproductive to think about the shoulds because you didn't or you won't or you're just not going to. So don't should on yourself. Don't should all over yourself. But yeah, shame takes a long time. I'm still working on it. I'll be working on it probably for the rest of my life. And I think a lot of us are in the same boat. But just know that you're not alone and you can do this. And it's cool because a way you can heal from that shame is to experience pleasure. You are, by experiencing pleasure, by loving on your body, by orgasming, by having sex, like that is a direct way to combat against the shame because you're saying to your body, you're like, I deserve this. This is something my body needs. It craves. It deserves it. We all deserve pleasure. It is a human right. Don't ever forget that. In fact, repeat after me. My pleasure is my human right. Say it. Did you say it? Say it again. Say it throughout today. Say it throughout your week. Make it an affirmation and just repeat that to yourself until you start believing it. And you will. I guarantee you'll start believing it if you really start believing it. You gotta believe it though. There's so many other reasons why we might not be experiencing pleasure or it might be really hard for us or especially orgasming. That was just a smattering of reasons. But I think having the awareness of why, I mean, another one I'd like to bring up, especially if you're, you know, you're either still figuring out your own sexuality or you're figuring out your gender identity, like those are huge. And those might be lifelong journeys too. And so if, you know, the way that the world is presenting itself as heteronormative, so a man and a woman, and like it's like super clean, wild sex, and that's the only kind of representation you've had when you feel completely different about your sexuality or you feel completely different about your gender and how you present that and how you think about that day to day, like that's going to be confusing as hell. Of course it will. And that's going to inhibit your pleasure. So I just want to make sure I brought that one up too, because I think that's a big one. So those are just some reasons. Again, if we know the reasons and if you can kind of look through that list that I just gave you and think about maybe it's a mixture of a few of them, maybe it's all of them, maybe it's one of them. Just think about why maybe if you are struggling with your own pleasure or with orgasming or with helping another person find their pleasure, it could be one of those reasons. It very well might be. So just think about that. Name it, because naming it is power. And once we have that awareness, that's when we get to start doing the uphill work, the work that's really going to make a difference. And so here again is the thing. Everything I just mentioned is so valid. And a lot of it will take work and time to get through, as well as large systematic change. So that's going to take people with privilege to, you know, undo some of these systems of like only white people get to have pleasurable sex and only people with thin bodies and only people who, you know, have only people with able bodies get to have pleasurable sex. Like, we need to undo all of that. And that's going to take so much work. but I'm here to do it. I'll be doing it. And I know a lot of other wonderful people who are doing that work, and we're going to make it happen. Like, slowly, it'll happen. So yeah. And the good news, as I kind of just mentioned, is that Pleasurable is accessible to you. And I mean that, I'm not saying that lightly. I know that trauma, especially if you did experience trauma on a physical or sexual level, it's hard to hear that maybe because you're like, how? When? Like, it feels impossible. But it is possible, even in the smallest of smallest ways, even by walking outside and smelling the clean air and breathing that in and closing your eyes. Doesn't sound super sexy, obviously, but that's a moment of pleasure. And we have to start counting those. And I don't mean like counting them like calories. I just mean like really experiencing that, those moments, and acknowledging them. Because the more you can acknowledge these little moments of pleasure day to day, the more you can get out of your head and feel your body existing, the more pleasure you're going to experience as a whole. It's kind of like the whole write down everything you're grateful for every day. The more you can tune in to the pleasure you experience day to day that maybe you don't even realize you're experiencing, like that first sip of coffee. Who else is a coffee person? That first sip of coffee, I noticed it this morning. I was like, gosh darn it, I love coffee. This is such a like wonderful way to start my day. Yes, I know caffeine's a drug and blah, 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 but I don't care. It gives me pleasure. I drink my cup of coffee and I'm feeling good. And that was a moment this morning. And I like, I know it sounds cheesy, but I almost like teared up just because look at me. Like, I didn't used to do this. I didn't used to like fully dig into these moments of pleasure that I've experienced for a long time. So do that. Please do that right now. What's something that, like, I don't know where you're sitting. Maybe you're at a desk. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're walking outside. Wherever you are, what's something right now that you can look at, smell, taste? What's there for you to be like, oh God, yeah, this is pleasurable. My body feels really good right now taking this in. Do it. So the other good news is that orgasming isn't the end all be all to pleasure. I'm going to talk a little bit about that right now. Let's decenter the orgasm. Let's decenter it. I want you to have them if, you know, I'm not saying never think about it or never do it. Let's start somewhere else with our pleasure. Sex doesn't have to end in an orgasm. It's not the marker of success. When it comes to sex, you're not failing if you don't orgasm. Masturbation does not have to end in orgasm. You can feel really, really, really amazing without nearing orgasm. You can feel all kinds of yummy nerve endings and tingly skin and toe-curling feelings without orgasming. I promise. You just have to think that way. Again, it will take time. It'll take effort. It'll take work. But you have to get to that place where you're like, I don't have to orgasm. I can still feel really good in this body. And it doesn't mean that I'm failing at sex or I'm failing at pleasuring myself when I don't orgasm. You have to get into that mindset. So my first piece of advice to anyone, I feel like I've already given a lot of advice, but a piece of advice I would give to you is, even those who have a little trouble orgasming, is get to know your body. You got to get to know it. You live in it, right? So let's get to know it. And maybe you're all fine and you know your bodies and you know your little points of pleasure, and that's awesome. So just listen to this and think about maybe new ways. But if you haven't really taken time to explore your body, listen in. So I want you to find time to be alone. So you can do this. Even if you live in a house with a big family, or if you have a partner, or maybe you have a baby or little ones, you can find some moments alone. You just have to be really intentional about it. So be intentional, find those moments, and use those minutes you'd usually spend, like, oh yeah, this is just an example. Instead of scrolling through your phone or scrolling through social media when you're alone, do what I'm about to say instead. One thing before I say this that I struggle with is time of day. Because for me, I think it's like just also a, like it was a practice, like the only times I would, you know, fool around with a partner would be at night. And when I started masturbating, which was pretty later in life, later in terms of like my mid-20s, I would do it at night. And so now I have it in my head, like I've kind of like established this, like, oh, it's nighttime when I access pleasure with my body. But I'm trying to unlearn that because there's so many times during the day where I'm alone where I could be experiencing some pleasure. And it could be early in the morning. It could be weird 2 p.m., that weird time where you're kind of like, where am I? What are we doing? So try to think of any time of during the day as time when you can experience pleasure. It doesn't have to be just at nighttime. So when you find your time alone, touch yourself. So one thing I did earlier this week was I have this really yummy lotion that I love so much. And I just massaged my feet with it. And it was beautiful because it like was getting some kinks out of my muscles down there. But also like my hands afterwards were so soft too. And I've always been into lotion. I guess probably most people are, but I've always loved putting lotion on my body. I do it after my shower every night. I love soft skin for me. Like I love my own soft skin. I don't need it on another person. That's not something like I desire or whatever. It's just on myself I desire it, which I think is kind of cool to have these desires for yourself. That's when you know you're really stepping into like your sexual self. Light a candle. What's better than a candle, right? It's so sensual. It's so nice. It makes me feel so relaxed, almost like a deep breath. And I even say this. So light a candle and breathe deeply into your pelvic floor area. It sounds kind of clinical, but what I mean by that is just like the bottom belly part, like way deep in there. Let's do it right now. Let's go. Deep, 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 deep. And let it out. And just do that for a little bit, like maybe 10. Count to 10, do 10 breaths deep, deep, deep into your belly. How do you feel after that? That's pleasure. That's pleasure. That counts. Lightly trace your chest and your nipples. And if you have breasts, your breasts. Just those light touches. Knee deep into your inner thighs. Now, these are all just places I like. So that's what I know. But maybe there's somewhere else on your body. Maybe you like your calves. Like my calves, when I dig deep into them, it's like a little painful. But other people love digging deep into their calves. So maybe that's better for you. These are just examples that I'm helping to kind of like stimulate your mind. While you're touching yourself like this, close your eyes and notice any sensations. What feels good? Maybe that little tingly feeling at the base of your neck happens, or you get some goosebumps. Notice those. Notice that happening. Again, it's kind of like that zeroing in, that hyper focus on what's giving you pleasure. You got to tune into that because it's going to help you experience all kinds of pleasure day to day. So there's always going to be something. You're going to feel something. Even if you've got that shame or that past trauma or the doubt, there's a place on or part of your body that enjoys touch. I guarantee it. And okay, I can't guarantee it, but I can almost guarantee it. And again, I can't speak for my body. Is I'm an able-bodied person. And so if you're living with some kind of disability or if you're living with chronic pain, that's my responsibility too, to do some research. So I know how to like help people with different abilities and people with chronic pain experience pleasure in ways that aren't just able-bodied feel. But so that's something maybe do if you haven't done research, and you probably have, but if you haven't, get online, see what other people are talking about. There's a great For people who live with disabilities, there is a great Instagram handle. I think it's called Cripping Up Sex, at Cripping Up Sex. Follow them. They talk a lot about experiencing pleasure in a body that I think they have a wheelchair, and I'm not exactly what exactly their abilities are or aren't, but they do a lot of great work in sex education for people with disabilities. So check that out. Practice this self-touch every day for a few minutes, and I bet after a month, you'll have a bigger catalog of places on your body that you like to touch and massage and scratch and rub and trace and breathe into. And that's cool because it's part of your pleasure catalog, and that's going to look different from everyone else, but it's cool to have that. Write it down if you want. Keep a journal of your pleasure spots. I think that's kind of fun. And eventually, you know, or maybe right away, I don't know, you'll want to include a partner or a few partners and give them the opportunity to explore these spots with you. Or maybe not. It's your pleasure. Do what feels right and good for you. So I'm going to actually stop there in terms of just chatting about the orgasm and pleasure. I think we will have another episode. Next episode, I'll probably keep going with orgasms. But we do have a listener question. When I brought up on my social media, I said, who has questions about orgasms? I got quite a few. I only have time for one today, but I'll definitely address more in the future. And most of them had to do with not being able to orgasm or not orgasming often. So this question was how to navigate sex when there's pressure to orgasm, both for myself or from a partner. All right, so I really wanted to answer this one because first things first, a partner should never Look, I'm using should, but this is a warranted should. A partner should not be pressuring you to do anything, inside or outside sex. That needs to stop. So I know that maybe this partner really cares about your pleasure and just feels this need to give you the orgasm because that's when what they've been told is the ultimate way of showing your partner pleasure. And I get it. They've received the same messaging that we have. But the pressure is just going to make it harder to orgasm. So explain that to them. No one is allowed to project pressure onto you. And it's easy for me to say, but it's necessary work for any relationship to have these conversations. So it's really kind of a control thing. And they just need to stop. So all you have to say is, please stop putting pressure on any outcome. And they hopefully will listen and stop the behavior. And if needed, I don't know, depending on what kind of pressure you were feeling, whether it was kind of like did feel really controlling or whether it was just more of a like loving in the wrong way of wanting you to orgasm. There's obviously a spectrum of how this could go down. But if they were really pressuring you and making you kind of feel guilty about not orgasming, I would hope that they would apologize. But ask them instead to focus on what feels good bodily for both of you. So that could look so different from it might not have anything to do with your genitals at the time. And that's when it's fun to play and to like discover more new things about each other and to really learn. So pressure's not allowed from your partner. Now, pressure on yourself is trickier because it's going to take work and time to undo that conditioning. We're really hard on ourselves. But just remember that sex ending in orgasm is an able-bodied heteronormative construction. I know I say things like that all the time, but I mean it. It's just like that's what we've been shown is the ultimate sex. And it's not necessarily true. Orgasming is great, but it doesn't have to happen to be good, healthy, fun, sexy sex. We can unlearn that. We can unlearn that orgasming is the ultimate, is the how sex has to be. So try to reframe orgasm with pleasure for your body, as we've talked a lot about today. Let yourself know lovingly that you'd like to experience pleasure either solo or with a partner or several. And then have a night with yourself first and do what I said above. Explore your body a little bit. And then have a night with a partner if that's what's happening in your life. You have a partner or you want to be with a partner. And it's just about pleasure. Just say, tonight's a pleasure night. So, and maybe even put on, which is kind of sexy, you're not allowed to orgasm. Because sometimes that like that buildup or that edging around an orgasm is what brings on an orgasm. But like make it clear. You're like, no orgasming tonight. We're just having pleasure in our bodies. See what you discover about yourself and how it feels. And this might sound random, kind of like breaking away from this bedroom or the sex within the realm of sex. We have to get away from the bullcrap notion of positive vibes only. So you have to allow your anger. You have to scream. You have to cry. Let people be confused by you and how you are feeling and processing things. That's okay. You're complex. You contain multitudes. So the more we start authentically feeling our feelings and letting ourselves process whatever that looks like, the more we're going to live authentically in our bodies. And once we start really living in our bodies, truly, fully, authentically, again, we notice and feel pleasure often. Trust me on this. Be more animal. We are animals. So just let yourself feel the feels. You don't have to change how you're feeling or change how you're responding just to please someone else. Do you. If people don't like you for however you're responding to things, you know, as long as you're not being mean to someone or hurting someone, obviously. But other than that, you're allowed to process and feel things however that looks like for you. And again, that authenticity is going to bleed into pleasure. Okay, so I'm running out of time here. Quick pause for pleasure, the segment where I give a shout out to something in life that's giving me pleasure recently. I was in Colorado this past weekend in a cabin on top of a mountain, and I was just watching snow fall. And it's so quiet. And it's so wonderful to be in that space of just silence, but this beauty's all around you, and it's white. Oh, it was beautiful. All right, y'all. So where to find me? I'm at Mary Adele, that's 2 L's, _ sex educator on Instagram. My website is www.maryadele.com. You can email me with any questions you have, and I might answer them on the podcast. It's info@maryadele.com. And make sure to follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out their other awesome podcasts on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. And don't forget to comment, rate, and share. Thank you, Scarlets. Tune in soon for a new episode of the Scarlet Collective. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to pay attention and seek pleasure.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.